This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, who provides you with free migration with their email and SMS services, and WooCommerce, building a flexible and scalable e-commerce site the open source way.
Hello, this is Adam Weeks from OpenChannels.fm, and I am really excited to talk to you guys today about case studies. Case studies are a really big deal. If you've ever tried to do one, you know that they're not easy. You've probably been asked to do one, or you've read them. And I really believe in the importance of our companies in this industry doing case studies. It's telling good stories. And I chose someone who has done a really incredible case study lately. This is Elena. I'm going to let her do a quick introduction of herself, and then we're going to jump into the importance of case studies in our industry. Elena, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
First, thank you for having me today. So yes, I'm Elena, and I lead the sales and marketing efforts at Serbolt. We're designed to remove the technical bottlenecks. So we are here to prove that normal can actually be a lot faster.
All right. Well, thank you, Elena. I'm so glad that you're here. Yeah, Servbolt's been doing good work for a long time. And there is a particular case study that you did that caught my eye. And I'd love, first off, before we jump into what Adina is and the great work, it's a nonprofit organization that's doing some really cool stuff. Could you tell me a little bit about how you think about case studies, why they're important, why you do them, because they're not easy.
Yeah, for sure. So as I've mentioned, at Serbolt, we talk a lot about performance. But performance itself is an abstract concept until we see it changes a business or organization. So I would say this is where exactly case studies come in. In marketing and sales, where I'm actually operating, we often fall into that trap of actually selling features. But customers don't buy features, they buy the outcomes. So I would say that the case studies are the bridge between here's what our tech does and here's how we will change your life.
Awesome. So we've got this, Adina. We're going to link to this case study because I really want everyone to just look through this. The pictures, all of it is so engaging. Could you tell me, let's use this as an example. So Servbolt, hosting company, hosts for all types of different types of organizations. And this is one that I'm sure you guys couldn't pass up. Like, oh, wow, they have an incredible story. We were able to make a big difference for Adina. Let's start with, can you tell me just who Adina is and for those who aren't familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So this one, the case study was a special one because the stakes were high. So Adina Foundation does an incredible humanitarian work. They're helping children with disabilities and providing education. Their story began roughly 25 years ago in Bergen, Norway. With their mission to help children in Romania who contracted HIV in hospitals. Over the time, team realized that urgent help wasn't enough on its own to break the cycle of poverty. So Adina evolved into a bit more holistic approach, supporting not only the child, but also the environment around them, families, schools, communities. They also have built major programs in Uganda, where their focus includes helping vulnerable children with injuries or disabilities, access operations, rehabilitation, and critically, return to school. That's one of main goals. So most recently, Adina has been laying the groundwork to support children and young people affected by the war in Ukraine, with a clear long-term intention to be present beyond the headlines.
Wow. Yeah, it's an incredible organization doing incredible work. And so as you're telling the stories of your different clients, I'm sure they came top of mind. I want to just read the title and then the first line because I think it's so important. Accelerating Impact, How Edina Foundation Built a 2.6x Faster Digital Future. And then the first sentence here, at ServBolt, we've always built around two core missions, performance and sustainability. But over the last year, a third mission has become impossible to ignore. People. All right. So I love that third mission, people. People is at the heart of it. None of this, obviously, it is all about the people. When a little bit more of like kind of your personal experience, what was it like to get this story out of them? How to, because they're doing the work, they're doing incredible work with the kids and like hosting, like that's not important.
Actually, you're on point.
Tell me about that.
So as their work in Ukraine accelerated and their plans expanded, they began investing more seriously in more modern digital presence, so be it social media, newsletters, campaign, and new ways to tell their stories. And apparently, at certain points, like many NGOs, they realized that their digital presence is struggling. They realized that their website is struggling. It's slow. It's hosted on an outdated infrastructure. And when you're an NGO, basically your website is the lifeline for donations and awareness. So if the site is slow or crashes during a campaign, you're not just losing your online presence. You're losing the ability to help people. So this is the point they've realized that this website actually needs a sustainable service, a reliable partner. And this is when they've reached out to us. So we've migrated them to ServBolt. But I would say that it wasn't just a move. We looked at the environment holistically, and we provide them this kind of a high-performance hosting that they needed to ensure that no matter how much traffic they got, their website would stay stable. I've mentioned that we're obviously obsessed over millisecond response times. Mm-hmm. But when we look at Edina Foundation, those milliseconds matter because they ensure that a donor doesn't drop off the page. And I would say that's a performance with a purpose. Using the high-end infrastructure to support their high-end mission.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. I love this story. It's a great one. Again, I encourage anybody to like check this case study out. It is an example of the kind of case study every single company wants to have because ServBolt was in that position to build a custom solution. As you're thinking of case studies and creating them, what are some of the components? Like, what are you thinking about when you're crafting, putting together a case study? What are the different parts that make up a good case study?
So it's most importantly to make something that people will actually want to read. That's the most important part, I would say.
Sure.
So, yeah, because most case studies read like a technical manual mixed up with a press release. They don't have a soul. So if you only provide the data, it's kind of a lab report, I would say. So if you only provide quotes, it's a testimonial. So you need to have more than that to have a case study. You need a story to tell. So to make them readable, we follow one simple rule. The customer is the hero and we are the guide. So I would say if you want to actually have people read your content, you need to use a narrative structure, not just a data dump. You have to follow the hero journey. Every business decision is basically a journey. So if you want to grab readers' attention, you have to cast the roles correctly. Most brands try to be the hero, but we know that the customer is the hero. We are just the mentor, the one who gives them the lightsaber so they can win the battle.
Yeah. the Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're not Luke Skywalker. You're Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And a story is actually good when there is a villain. And in our villain, it isn't a person, it's the frustration, whether it's the lost revenue, the technical debt, or the performance issue. So this is the actual villain that you need to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, you know, we don't make decisions unless there is some type of a problem. There's a threat.
Exactly.
If everything's good, if I'm sleeping good at night, I don't need a new mattress. If I'm full, I don't need to go out to eat. If I have fast hosting, I'm not thinking about that. But if my website isn't performing, or some of it is like, I think my website's fine, and not even knowing that their website could be a lot better, you know, that their website isn't performing well, I think that's going to be a problem sometimes too.
Yeah, exactly. People love to read about this kind of a middle of the story. Where were the hurdles? How did you handle the problem? In this case, the migration. This is where you basically prove your expertise and you build trust. But it also shows that you've been in the trenches and you know how to get the hero on the other side safely.
Awesome. Well, as we were talking about before, you know, getting a really good case study, having your clients tell you all the information, it's super easy, right? Like it's not hard at all. They want to share all the stuff and they answer emails right away. That's not true. tell me, what is it like? What are some of the tricks? What are some of the things that you have found? Because to do a case study, you need the customer to give you information. You need quotes, you need photos, you need different parts. How do you encourage your clients to help you build that case study?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we all know how hard it is to get to produce those. So yes, that's the tricky part, I would say. And it's funny because on paper, it looks super easy. Problem, solution, result. And yes, and because of that, case studies are probably the first action point of every GTM document. But in the real world, I would say that's the elephant in the room for every marketing marketer. You can have the best data, the best writer, but if the client actually won't agree to participate, you have nothing. So, getting a client to actually agree to a case study is sometimes like pulling teeth. So, you always ask yourself, why is it so hard to get them say yes? I call it kind of the participation paradox. Probably the more successful the project is, the busier the client usually is, and probably less time they will have to talk about it. So, there are quite a few fear factors that probably would explain why it's kind of difficult for the other party to participate. We can go through them, but yeah, to tell the story, to tell a great story, first the client has to admit they had a problem. We were frustrated, and many brands, especially enterprise level or high profile ones, are terrified of looking vulnerable. They don't want their competitors to know they were struggling. So this is probably one of the most common reasons why we kind of often face such kind of a decline and not willingness.
If you're thinking about switching email platforms but dreading the migration, OmniSend makes it easy. They'll move your automations, templates, and contacts for you, so you're ready from day one. Plus, you get support whenever you need it. It's a smoother way to start fresh without starting over. Just head over to omnisend.com/open channels and get 30% off your first 3 months with any plan. If you build stores for clients, WooCommerce gives you the flexibility to create exactly what merchants need. Customize workflows, extend with thousands of integrations, and scale without switching platforms. You stay in control as every store grows and evolves. It's built for the way builders and agencies actually work. And best of all, it's the open source way. You can learn more simply by visiting WooCommerce.com.
You're exactly right. Nobody wants to admit that they had a problem, but obviously if everything was going well, they wouldn't have maybe needed you. You know, so like, yeah, this is a thing that we all face, but it can be a struggle. Any specific things that you do to help frame why they would want to, like, how do you, any tricks that you have that like, oh yeah, I wrote this for them. I gave them an example. What kind of things do you do that help get them over that hurdle?
Yeah, this is where the fundamental shift you have to make, actually. So if you approach a client and ask, can you help us with a case study? You're already lost. You're basically asking for a favor. So right. Instead, I would say you should approach as, we want to feature your success story, because most brands constantly are looking for high quality backlink opportunities or industry PR. And high quality, on the other hand, is expensive and time consuming to produce. So I would phrase the case study as a free professional asset that is for them. And most importantly, we can help the individual who is participating in the case study to be a thought leader. So the person who we'll be talking to, the CTO, the lead dev, or the marketing manager will kind of look like a superstar to their boss.
Nice. Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way to frame it, is that this is, two companies coming together to share a success story. But like any story, it has to have a villain. It has to have something that was wrong. And that's why we make. And that's, I think, the difficult part to overcome. But like what I'm seeing here in the Servbolt case studies is that it's done so well that they're like, yeah, like it does, share a story of struggle, but it does elevate them. It gives them those backlinks. It helps with their marketing, and so it does become that win-win. And I think you've done that beautifully here.
Yeah, you've basically said it really well. It needs to be a mutual value exchange. It's a win for the brand, obviously, but it should be also an equal win for the client. It's equally important. So for the client, for the person who chose a Servbolt, the case study is kind of a proof for their board or for their CEO that they made a great strategic move. It's the kind of the external gold star for their professional record. And for example, for organization like Adina, their mission depends on visibility. And by being featured by us, they get an access to our ecosystem, our partners, our social following, our industry influence. And we are providing them with this free PR they might not have the internal resources to execute. And for NGO, it's extremely important and kind of supports their mission.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a great, is finding that win-win. I think this is a good example of good things usually aren't easy. Like part of it being difficult is where the value in this is. And as people are thinking about, should I do more case studies? We don't have a lot of case studies, I've never done a case study. What kind of encouragement would you give them if they're thinking about doing a case study?
Yeah, I would say that every marketer has been there staring at the blank customer's page on the website while the sales team is screaming for social proof. So I would say in this case, the biggest mistake is probably waiting for 6 months after a project is finished or a client is onboarded to ask for a case study, because I would say that the emotional ROI has faded by then. At the moment, big happiness, as soon as the site goes live or the client says, wow, this is fast, go and say, I'm so glad you're happy. We'd love to feature the success so that our audience can see the great work your team is doing. And if they don't respond, just keep asking. It should be mentioned during the onboarding, after onboarding, ongoing support. So the idea kind of gets in their brain. And tell the client that you shouldn't have to write a single word. You can just record a 15-minute Zoom call, transcribe it, and write the draft for them. Make it easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are a lot of really good tips. Like one thing that we might like, oh, well, we want to be working with them for a long time. We want to have them for a customer for 5 years before we do that. But I like what you're saying is, you know, as soon as you've done the work for them, that's, you know, when you want to do it.
Say we fall into the same trap as well. So we waited for too long and we waited for the perfect time, but sometimes the perfect time never comes. And
so, never comes.
Yeah. So don't risk losing this perfect opportunity. Just tell the story.
Yeah. And I like how you mentioned that in the onboarding, when you're starting, you're kind of prepping them like, hey, this will be coming. We expect we're going to do a great job. And if we do, we want to make sure we tell people about it and using that case study and constantly talking to them about it.
Yeah. And we try to involve forward also the sales team into that, because they're the ones who engage with the customers on a day-to-day basis. And it's one of the most common objections from them, I would say, because without a doubt, it's the fear of bothering the client. You know, sales and support teams are super protective of their relationships, and they should be.
So, yeah,
when you ask a sales rep to basically help you source a case study, their immediate reaction will be, I just spent 6 months building this relationship, building this trust with the person. Asking for a case study feels like I'm asking for a favor that I haven't earned yet.
There you go. I love that. Yeah, it's a confidence being like that we want to do a case study with you is a confidence that we did a good work for them. And that, that's fantastic. So as we're wrapping up here, we're kind of just back up a little bit just to kind of summarize what we have. We know that case studies are important to do. It can be discouraging work because it's not easy. You've got clients that are busy, they're doing other things. It's not super important to them, or they don't feel it's important to them. Another part about case studies is that you do all of this work and you send it out into the world, and then did sales go up? We don't know. Like, tell me a little bit about you've told the story, you've done all the work to get the photos, to get the quotes, you did the Zoom calls, you wrote this incredible piece, and now what? How do you get people to actually care or to pay attention? What are some of the things that you've done once the case study has been completed?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. And probably it's even more tricky than actually crafting the case study itself. Because yes, case studies can only be successful if they have impact. And to have impact, these stories must be shared. And from a marketing perspective, yes, it's kind of tough to determine case study success, because metrics such as page views, time spent on page, track the level of consensual of the story, but not how it was received by the readers, which is highly subjective, or how it might actually influence the deal, which is obviously the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So, case study success to me is if I can capture the story, then our PR team can pitch it, and if it gets picked by one of the industry or business publications we worked with. Another big success is when these case studies get used by our demand gen or lead or sales staff, when the stories help to either attract prospective customers or to speed up the sales cycle. Given that about 80% of marketing content goes unused by sales, I would say that if sales is using a case study, that's a good thing. They wouldn't be using it if it wasn't working. Another way we measure case study success is by checking to see if the story has influenced deals in the pipeline. If deals are being closed and the sales are thanking you and telling you that they're getting exactly what they needed from you, I would say that's the measurement you needed.
That's a good one. You know, what I like about that is, does the sales team, are they excited about the case study? Because part of when you have a company, maybe not all the parts really know all the different projects. Like, yep, I'm working on sales, I'm doing this thing. Oh, here's the case study. We did that for this company. I'm proud of the company that I work for. They did an incredible job. I can't wait to share this with my prospective clients. And I think that that's also, yeah, like you're saying, kind of a metric. Are they using it? Are they excited about the case study? And I think that's valuable in and of itself, is that is the internal team excited to read the work that we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say because a case study works 24/7. It's basically their colleague, the salesperson, mm-hmm. that never sleeps. So while the team is offline, a prospect or in another time zone is reading the story and realizing that we're the solution to their problem. So it handles the proof of concept phase before they even hop on a discovery call. So I would say, yes, they're super excited, always happy when we announce that we've managed to release a new one.
That's awesome. In sales, in marketing, there's this concept of people like us do things like this. And essentially, it's this idea that in the case of Adina, this really great nonprofit organization that is doing great work, they are an aspiration for other companies out there, for other organizations doing good work. And there is, if they have success like this, I want success like that too. And I think that case studies are an incredible way to communicate that concept of people like us do things like this. And I think that's fantastic. Excellent. As we're wrapping up here, you've shared so many great insights about the difficulties and the benefits and all the reasons why you should work through the the persistence that it takes to make a good case study. Any final thoughts for someone that is saying, you know what, I should probably do one?
Yeah, so if I can probably leave your listeners with one last thought, it will be that, yes, your data is important, but the stories are what builds the trust. So in a world that is getting noisier by a second, and we are seeing this really clearly, an authentic case study is, I would say, the only thing that proves that you actually do what you say you can do. So whether you're a developer looking at the technical specs or a CEO looking at the bottom of the line, remember that we aren't just moving the files and code, we are moving missions forward. That's the most important thing, I would say.
I love that. Tell good stories, tell the stories of your clients, and it helps when that your clients are doing really cool stuff for like the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations on this case study, Elena. If someone wants to find out more about you and find out more about the work you do, where on the internet can they find you?
I would say go to the website serbolt.com, check for our article section at serbolt, and look for the case studies.
Very good. And I assume you're on like LinkedIn and all the socials and all that as well. Very cool. Well, Elena, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot. My name is Adam Weeks for openchannels.fm. We will see you guys all hopefully very, very soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
We would like to thank Omnisend.com and WooCommerce.com for supporting Open Channels FM. Till the next time, take care.